where the chief priests and are convincing, or the Bible says they persuade the multitude that they should ask Pilate for Barabbas. Pilate says, "Who do you want? Who will I release?" There are two men who are sentenced to die. This one that they call Jesus, the one who goes by the name the Son of God, the sinless one, not the sinless three, the Holy One of Israel. And there is a murderer and a thief named Barabbas. And this multitude hears this question. But there are a few men in the multitude. You see, there are always a few people who control the masses. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about everywhere. There are a few men who control the masses. These chief priests and these multitude were able to persuade the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and by default crucify the Christ. How many of you have fallen into peer pressure? Anyone ever been there, done that? My goodness, been there, done that. It turns out you can't be persuaded by the wrong crowd if you're not hanging around the wrong crowd in the first place. We have often been persuaded by peer pressure, and the consequences can be minor to serious. It's difficult watching young people fall and buck authority and rebel because you know that their consequences will only get more and more serious. At first, it's a grounding or a spanking, right? But when you get to adolescence, when you get to teenage years, when you get to adulthood, and the rules don't matter and you do whatever you want to do, you don't get spankings. You get the law. You get jail. You get imprisonment. The consequences can go from minor to major. And as it turns out, you can even get peer pressured into doing good things. Right? By hanging around good people. I don't really know if I want to study. You know, you ever had a group of friends that helped you with your schoolwork? You ever had somebody that helped peer pressured you into something good? I believe that there's a lot of us, I'm just going to say what it is, we were peer pressured at first in the church. Right? It wasn't because I was looking to have my life transformed by the Holy Ghost. It's because my friend wouldn't shut up. It's because a friend of mine said, "You want to come to church? You wouldn't believe what happened at church. You want to come to church? You want to come to church? You want to come to church? You want to come to church?" And that's good stuff. Because we knock and we knock and we knock. But a lot of times we come to church not because of what's in here, but because somebody, and that's biblical, wants to lead us there. Amen? And we show up for the first time when we find out, but that boy, they're crazy, but they're not that crazy because we keep showing up. They're wild, but I kind of like it. There's something here. There's something real. And you know what? There's free donuts. So we show up again and again and again. We continue to show up and show up and show up. We start attending every service. We start attending work days. We start being there for fellowships. We go to youth rallies and we're showing up and we're showing up and we're showing up. But for too many people, that is where your walk with God ends. That is the limit of your walk with God, is simply showing up. Amen? We have found out today, and if any of you have been in this service today, this is not a show. Because shows always come to an end. This is not something that we just do, but my God, this is who we are. Amen? I am apostolic to the core. Amen. You ought to be apostolic down to your little toe. Amen. I live, eat, and breathe holiness. I live, eat, and breathe the Word of God, the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in another tongue. This is not a fad. This is not just something I want to do. But my God, I couldn't imagine. This is me. Hallelujah. My God changed me. Amen. This is just who you are. But for so many people showing up in churches week after week after week, this isn't who you are. This is just where you go to church. It becomes a show. It becomes a performance where we put on another mask and another mask. We know how to wear a dress. We know how to cut our hair. Brother Mark needs to get his hair cut. Amen. Amen. Julie knows. Julie knows. I'm going to be texting. I got one more shot, and then my wife has to learn how to cut my hair. Yes, I got I got to let her cut my hair, amen. Not the time to try the tight fade, upper left swooped, right? Get my clan name etched into my sideburn. We know how to play holiness. I believe we even know better how to play fruits of the Spirit. We know how to pretend love. We know how to pretend peace and joy. We duke it out Monday through Saturday, and we know how to play peaceful on Sunday when everybody's watching. It becomes a show. It becomes a performance. You see, the devil doesn't care what you believe. He cares what you live, because the devils believe and tremble. Yes. Amen? The devil doesn't care that you play this game on Sunday. He just wants to watch and wait to see the flesh and the carnality rise up again. Amen? Our family members know better than any. Are you living this thing? If we were to pass out a survey, which I didn't create one, thank you, Lord, and I gave it to every family member, and I had their names, are they living this thing for real? I'm not saying are they perfect, but are they living this thing? Do they have the fruit of the Spirit? Oh my goodness, if my wife was to be writing that about me. Does Mark have the fruit of the Spirit Monday through Saturday? Am I living patience? Am I growing joy? Are you living gentleness? Amen? Ouch. That's the real deal. Because when this isn't a show, when this is who you are, you don't stop growing. And the Holy Ghost doesn't stop moving at an altar call, isn't limited by a day of the week and a time of the day, but the Holy Ghost is going to speak to you and lead you and guide you and convict you on Tuesday for what you said. And he's going to guide you to a new ministry or to a new person on Thursday when they come to your mind. The Holy Ghost will be able to give you compassion for somebody that you don't know. The Holy Ghost is going to give you patience for the person at the restaurant. The Holy Ghost will be able to move and guide you every day, because this isn't just something I do once a week, but my God, I want to live this way, because there is a world to reach. Hallelujah. But we box him up and we leave it here in front of the other Church of Pentecost people, when God is saying, I've got 6 other days of goodness ahead of you. Amen. You see, I wish I would have researched this, but Jesus put so many hours into his disciples. I mean, it's thousands of hours. It would take us 20 years, 30 years to get the amount of hours that Jesus put into his disciples. Why? 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 Because it was every day. It was every day. They woke up. And they heard the Messiah speak. Amen. They ate lunch. And they talked about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. Every day they went and they grabbed lunch. There was no part of their life that were hidden and closed off from the Messiah, because they decided every day. Come on, everyone's a free man. Any one of them could have walked out. They decided every day, am I a disciple or am I not? Amen. Amen. And that's a place where God is leading this church. Every day, are you a disciple or are you just attending the show? Is this who you are? Or is it just something you do? Does it just qualify how you post on Facebook? Does it just label the posts that you share? Or is it who you truly are? Has God changed your DNA? DNA is characterized because it is always able to reproduce itself. If it can't reproduce itself, there's no DNA there. That's what sets apart human. That's what sets apart life. Life is able to reproduce after its own kind. Amen. The same is in the church. If you can't reproduce after your own kind, I want to ask you, do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you have the baptism in Jesus' name DNA on the inside? If you can't reproduce disciples, whose DNA is flowing through your veins? Whose DNA do you have? For too many people, this is just a show. It's a performance. We wear masks. I try to tell our youth, it's such a freeing thing. It's such a weight off your shoulders when you don't have to pretend any longer. It is a burden. It is tiring. It is exhausting to have to be this way with this person and this way with this person and this way with this person. It's confusing. It's draining. But when you can just... when you can just be the person that God has called you to be. When you can just be on fire for God and it doesn't matter who's watching. Amen. There is a liberty. Matthew 15, 7 through 9. Ye hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. But where is it? Their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. These Pharisees were described by Jesus as being a worshiping people and a people that also taught God's commands. Amen. This ought to tell you right here and right now, you can be a worshiper and your heart still be far from God. You can teach and know His word and your heart still be lost and be far from God. So the question is, are you absolutely sold out to this thing? Amen. We talked about it here before, that the longer you're in relationship with somebody, your hearts can grow distant. Time makes you grow distant. I heard this is super powerful. It's super cool. I don't know if it's some sort of Indian parable. You know, those always are floating out there. Native American parable. but they say, "Why, Daddy, that's his, you know, tribal chief. Why do we yell when we're angry at each other?" They say, "Because your hearts have a distance from one another. When you're far away from each other, your hearts are far away from each other. Even if you're standing right here, you yell. But the closer that your hearts are, you can whisper. Amen? If God has to yell to get your attention, how far away is your heart from the living God? But Jesus wants you to be so close that all He has to do is look down on His bosom and say, "My child, I want you to go here. My child, I love you." Does God have free access to your time? We start off this way, right? We're on fire with the Holy Ghost. We got that baptism. Does He still have free access to your time? After the blessing, does God still have free access to your money? After God has fixed your issue, after God has taken you through the storm, does God still have free access to your relationships? Does He still get to tell you how to talk and treat to one another? Does God have free access to your habits? Does God have free access to your emotions? Does God have free access to your decisions? Amen. But when this thing is in your heart, when this thing is who you are, Jesus, my life is an open book. Amen. When you've been feeling like you've had to hide and shrug and take a shield and hide yourself from the Word of God preached here week after week, and when you see things in the Word and you just, that's for somebody else. This has become a show. Amen. But when God has your heart, when God has your heart, it doesn't matter how little and it doesn't matter how big. Amen. Why would God speak if he knows that you're just going to throw it away? Amen. He does. He gives us that chance. But Jesus wants to hear your yes. As long as your heart isn't in this thing, I'm telling you, you're going to continue to have setbacks in your walk with God. Because the devil will steal on Tuesday the victory you got on Sunday. Amen? I'm not going to drop the mic, but that is what it is. As long as your heart isn't in this thing, day after day after day, you're going to keep fighting the same battles. You're going to keep going through the same storm. Amen? God wants to take you through the storm to something different. Wouldn't it be nice to face something different for once? Sometimes we get tired of, it's just always family drama. Well, maybe God wants you to handle family drama differently. Ouch! All I do is, oh, my work. It's terrible. The boss is completely just throwing tape measures at me and shattering stuff. Well, maybe God, right? My boss is just, maybe God wants you to stand in the gap and pray and seek his face. My spouse, oh, my kids, oh, my issues, my health. Maybe God wants you to stop walking on the same path and falling in the same potholes and hear his voice to say, my child, if you would just obey the word that's already been spoken to you, you would be so further along than you are right now. God wants to lead you to victory, but he's got to have your heart. Amen. So the question is, have you grown spiritually this year? Have I grown spiritually this year? How? Quantify it. How have you grown spiritually this year? When your heart is in this thing, you will gladly hear and apply the word. When your heart is in this thing, you will worship without being told. You will give without prompting, and you will pray without holding back. Amen. When your heart is in this thing, you say, God, how can I please you more? Jesus, what more can I give? When your heart is in this thing, you look for opportunities to minister. When your heart is in this thing, you say, God, who can I disciple? Who can I lead to heaven? Jesus, how can I be more pleasing in your sight? Amen. God is coming back for a church that is all in. Amen. And I'm not hammering anybody over the head. I believe we are growing, but not everyone's growing. Amen? It's the truth. Not everybody's growing. That's an individual choice. Not every apostle made it to heaven. There's always a Judas. There's always somebody that's hanging around the church folk, but isn't going to make it to heaven. There's always somebody hanging around the church people and is at every service and every godly conversation, but you can't trust what they're doing throughout the week. Judas didn't want to give. He didn't want the money to go to the poor. Why? He wanted it for himself. That's not a one-time occurrence. That's a habit. Amen. God, make me a person that Pastor and Julia, our leadership, God, make me a person, God, that you can trust me Monday through Saturday to be apostolic, to be pure, to do the right thing no matter what. God, make me a person that if they're not here at a service, like they won't be because they're going to take some time away as a family. Yes, thank you, God. We did it. It takes so long, but we did it. Make me a person that when they're not here, we still worship.
Amen.
My God, there are churches when if their pastor isn't there, they're sitting like they're a bunch of, Lutherans, right? Sorry, Donna. Only thing that came to mind. The church where my kid came in coughing, I was like, everybody was like, coughing? It was the first time anyone made noise from the first pew back in like 20 years. Nothing can grow in your life if the seed of God's word stays on top of the soil. Amen? How have you grown? Well, if you want to grow, let the word get past your ears and get in your heart. Amen? It's so easy to listen to messages and say, that'll bless Aaron. That'll bless Sister Kathy. That'll bless Olivia. That'll bless Megan. But my goodness, I'm good? No. God bless. Lord, blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled. Amen. God is looking for a people who are hungry for righteousness. I don't care what he's preaching about. I need the word because I'm not perfect yet, but I want to move a God in my life and my family. Amen. I don't know about you, but I believe we're in the last days today. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 writes about these days. As Paul writes to the church saying, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. So he's saying, people are going to come to you and be like, oh, God's coming right now. God's going to come right now. Oh, you need to get scared. Jesus is coming right now. But Paul says, no, there's going to be a sign. There's going to be a sign that shows that Jesus is coming. Some stuff has to happen first. Let no man deceive you by any means. Okay, here's a sign. Pay attention, church. For 2,000 years, we've had this sign. That day shall come, shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Stay back on that 3A. That falling away. What does that mean? What does it mean that before Jesus comes again, there will be a falling away? To me, there's only one thing that could mean. Think about it critically. What does it mean? A falling away. Does it mean from unsaved to unsaved? No. That doesn't make a lick of sense. From saved to not walking with God anymore. Before Jesus comes again, there will be a falling away. There's going to, right? So who's going to be, who? What is salvation? What is the first steps of salvation? Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's going to be a whole lot of one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rolling, heaven-bound believers falling away from the truth. Before Jesus comes again. Not my words. That's the word. There's going to come a falling away. Amen. Don't be a person that falls away from the truth. Amen. I remember our first youth class. I told our kids, you would not believe the amount of kids from our youth group when we were young people that backslid. It's not like a couple. It's not like half. It's the majority of people from our youth group when we were kids backslid, are living a partying lifestyle, drunk, having children out of wedlock, having all sorts of not living for God. Amen? Paul promises the church that Jesus won't come again until this happens, until there is a great backsliding, not just out of youth group, but out of people in churches. Amen? And he describes how this happens in verse 10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Amen. If we had a mirror, you'd hold it up in front of your face right now and say, do I have a love for the truth? Jesus said, if you love me, what will you do? Obey my commandments. Amen. Do you love him? Do you obey his word? Don't say you love the word if you refuse to live it. Amen. Amen. But every one of us, come on. God wants to lead you to a place of loving and falling in love with him all over again. And all it takes is one act of obedience after another. One act of obedience after another. Whatever is revealed to me, whatever he speaks, whatever God preaches to me, whatever I hear, whatever it is, God, I will obey it. One step after another, God. Amen. Because I want to hear your whisper. I want to hear your voice. Mom, because God wants to take you to a place further than just surviving, living for God. Amen? But he wants to use you to build something. When your heart is in this thing, you won't just believe it, but you will live it. Amen? There's nothing that will take you further than understanding that belief is not enough to make it. Belief is not enough to grow in God. You've got to live this thing out. What do you believe about worship? What do you believe about holiness? What do you believe about honesty? What do you believe about prayer and fasting? What do you believe about standing in the gap and interceding? What do you believe about being faithful and dependable? What do you believe about honoring those above you? What do you believe about your brothers and sisters? What do you believe about the lost? It will come out in how you live. This is not a show. I don't just talk about this thing, but you live it. Amen. Amen. The musicians could come on up. God wants to get you to a part where this gets into your heart. So don't sidestep the word of God. Don't sidestep conviction or prayer. But say, Jesus, I need it. I need it. I don't care what they're preaching, but I need it. When it gets into your heart, you understand you need to be discipling somebody to the truth. Jesus spoke of soil. And he spake many things unto them in parables, Matthew chapter 13. Saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came up and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, come on, the sun comes up in our lives. The sun's come up in some of your lives and it scorched the word of God. It scorched, it's devoured your promises. The sun has come up and eaten away your hope because they had no root. They withered away. I ask you, what happened to that dream that you were so excited for God to bring to fruition in your life? What happened to that word? What happened to that hope? What happened to that excitement? The sun has come up. And it has scorched and destroyed and withered away. But there are some that has fallen into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30. When your heart is in this thing, you let your heart be good soil. That Jesus, I don't care how long you make me wait. God, I don't care how dark the night gets. Jesus, I don't care how difficult people might be. Your word is true. And I love you. I trust you, Jesus. And so I'm going to ask that you come out and you weed out the soil of your heart. If you've ever weeded, if you've ever done gardening, you can't just do it once and be done forever. Jesus, weed out of my heart anything that is destroying, anything that is stealing. God, I want my heart to be a place where you can speak, Lord God. God wants to pour out promises and provision. God wants to lead you somewhere you've never been. But it takes a heart that is like David. Jesus, give me David's heart. God, give me a heart that is after your own heart, Jesus. God can work with your inability. He can work with your lack of talent and your lack of self-discipline. But he can't work with a heart that isn't given to him. Jesus, take my heart, God. I failed you, Jesus, before. But God, from here on out, God, you can have it, Lord. I repent, Lord God, for letting weeds grow up. I repent, Lord God, for letting things come up. I give you everything, Jesus, right now. Jesus, make us a people who live this thing for real. I live, eat, and breathe your goodness and your mercy. Jesus, help us, Lord God, to buy the truth and to sell it not. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, let your perfect will be done.
Like a fire shut up in my bones, want the world to know you are God. With a passion burning deep within, want the world to know that you live. And your presence come in such a way, every part of me make me new. Let your spirit come and move within, fill me once again, 'cause I need more. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Jesus, I'm hungry for you. Jesus, I'm longing. Lord, you are all I want. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Jesus, I'm hungry for you. Jesus, I'm longing for you. For you, 'cause Lord, you are. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Jesus, I'm hungry for you. Jesus, I'm longing for you. Lord, you are all I want. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Jesus, I'm hungry for you. Jesus, I'm longing for you. Cause Lord, you
to do in your life. Amen. Desperation takes us to another level. Amen. And if we would truly get desperate for God to move in our families and in our job situation, whatever need it is you have, your healing, whatever. Amen. You can move mountains with your desperation. Amen. That woman that spent all of her living, years of trying to find an answer, trying to find a cure, trying to find for her need, got desperate. And she crawled to the master through the crowd, pressed her way through till she could at least just get a touch of the master. Desperation will take you somewhere. Amen. I'd like to ask, I thank you, everyone that blessed us today with a card, and I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. As a man of God over this church, I appreciate what God has given me to lead. Hey, man, he has given me a great people that love God, and I'm thankful, and speak for my wife as well, that we truly appreciate this body of believers. Amen. This church. And I would like us as a church to pray with us. I feel like the Lord is dealing with me on going full time as a pastor of this church. And I'm obeying my pastor to ask this church to pray with me and give us both confirmation, our whole family. Amen. This is a huge leap of faith, but I believe God can lead us and know when to do it at the right time. And I'm just going to ask every one of us, if you would just pray with us, that God would give us clear direction. Amen. Give myself clear direction, my wife, my family. Amen. I don't want to do anything foolish, but I want to walk in faith. Amen. And believe that God will supply all of our needs. Amen. And I know he's able, but if you can just begin to pray with us, I don't know when, but I just want to know when God speaks that we are able to hear it and do it and walk in it. So if you just begin to pray with us, we'd appreciate that. And just want to know his perfect will for our lives. Amen. Thank you. Amen. The word of God was powerful today. Amen. God has woven this thing together today, and he's leading us and guiding us, and his presence is so strong here right now. Amen. God wants to use us, everyone. Amen. Sometimes God pulls back all the guests for a reason, to get us into a place where he just wants to talk to us. And he has spoken today. So let's listen. Let's obey and follow him. Lord, thank you for your blessings in this place today. Lord, we ask you to just move in every life, God. Lord, touch those that weren't able to be here today, God. Whatever their need is, God, if they're sick, God, touch them, Lord. If they're just out and about, Lord God, just help them, Lord Jesus. Whatever they're doing, God, bless the Pritz, God, as they finish up wedding obligations, Lord God, and just bless them, Lord, and touch Ryan and Katie, Lord God, on their honeymoon, God. Just bless them, Lord Jesus, and help them, Lord God, to start a new life together, Lord. We thank you for all that you're doing with us and through us, Lord. We thank you for your blessings, what you're going to do through this week. In Jesus' name, we're going to believe good reports, God. The things that happened here today, God, there was miracles in this place today. There was, God, your hand has gone before us, Lord God. And we're going to hear the good report, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, we're going to see your hand do what we ask today. In Jesus' name. Praise God. God bless you. You're dismissed.